Good morning. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to be able to preach the word of Christ to you this morning from Psalm chapter 42 and 43. And I hope that this will be a blessing to you as it's been to me, as the Lord has really worked in my heart through this text. As you're finding Psalm 42 and 43, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll get started. Lord Jesus, we come to your word now to learn things that we can't learn anywhere else. And we come to your word now to be changed in ways that we cannot be changed any other place, any other way. And we come to your word now to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do things that only you can do in the world. So we surrender ourselves to you now. Would you come, would you teach us, would you empower us, would you change us? We want to worship you now as we look into these psalms. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I really enjoy trail running. And last weekend, I decided to go on a trail run. I haven't been running for a while. I've been extremely inconsistent for about 2 years. But I decided to go last weekend. I decided to take Eden and decided to take Josiah with me. And I was poor planning, didn't plan very well, but here I went. I took off with my two children and we started running. And what I thought was going to be a 30 minute to maybe 45 minute run, maybe an hour, maybe a mile, 2-3 miles, ended up being several hours and 9 miles. So very poor planning on my part. To be frank, I was lost. I had little water. My phone was dead. And when I started asking people for help, they were mocking me. And they said, "Whoa, you got a long way to go. It's a long way to get back to the trailhead." And they kept mocking me. And I kept imagining while I was on the trail that Lauren would be concerned where I was at and that she would call none other than Chris V to come help me. And I began to imagine and dream as I was running that I would see Chris V coming down the trail with a bottle of water to push. I was in a jogging stroller, so maybe he would push Eden and Josiah the rest of the way home. We did make it home. My children were very gracious, and they were encouraging me to keep running. And we made it to the trailhead, and we made it home. And when we look at Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, we also see that there is someone crying out here that is far from home. We don't know exactly why in the text. It doesn't tell us why they are far. Maybe they're a refugee. Maybe they're in exile. Maybe they're a prisoner of war. Or maybe they just feel homesick. And I often feel homesick. Do you not? Especially in 2020. Everything feels unfamiliar to me. As I grow older, every year is a new challenge. You know, babies are young and you can burp them and put them to sleep, but then they get older and there's different challenges, and every year is something unfamiliar that the Lord is taking me through. And we need guidance. We need help. And I know that you feel the same way I do. It's part of the human experience. And feeling far from home, we are tempted to be down and depressed. Today, we're going to read how people who are lost and downcast find hope in God. People who are lost and downcast, like you and me, find hope in God by satisfaction in God, by trusting in God, and by following God. That's how we place our hope in Him. First, let's look at being satisfied in God from verse 1 through 5. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember, as I pour out my soul, how I go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. This thirst that we read about here in verse 1 through 3, this is not Bambi strolling through the forest going to a nice, calm stream. This is an animal that is desperate. This is an animal in drought condition that is in desperate need of something to quench its thirst. The psalmist here is describing his whole being desiring and needing God. The longing increases as we read through the psalm. First, he calls out to God. Then he calls out to the living God. Then he sets his hope to see God face to face. And then later in verse 8, he calls out to the God of his very life. It seems as if and feels as if God will not deliver this psalmist. So he tries to remember a time when he did feel God, when he was connected to God. And we read in verse 2 through 4, he cries out, when will God come? And where is God? The psalmist acknowledges that he is in a downcast place, but he's not willing to give up. He's asking and he is recalling back the time when he was close to God. He's remembering the good old days, right? He's remembering the mountaintop experience. For many of you, it might be that time at summer camp, or it might be in college, in that Christian ministry where you felt God so near and it was so easy to be in God's presence. At least that's how it felt, right? Remembering sweet times is good, and we are wise to do that. But sweet times are not as good as God himself. Remembrance, whether it's the sweet times, the good times, or the bad times, will not provide what we need in the present situation. And after trying to remember the past, he starts to look within. The psalmist acknowledges that he is downcast, but he's not willing to give up. He speaks to himself and he puts his hope in God to meet his needs. He trusts and longs and places his faith in God. We are called to live with the hope in us, but our reality is still in the here and now. We must acknowledge both aspects of our existence, and this psalmist does so here. And when your soul is downcast, I encourage you to speak to it. The soul here in the scriptures is just a reference to their entire being. And I'm going to ask you, it doesn't matter to me how much of an introvert you are or how quiet of a person you are. I know who talks to you the most. You do. You talk to yourself the most. Your internal dialogue, it goes on and on every day, almost every moment. So I ask you, tell your soul where its hope is found. In your desperate condition for God, are you trying to be satisfied with relationships, with toys, with that vacation that you hope will come, or that job promotion? Is that where your satisfaction comes from? Tell your soul to get with the people of God and tell your soul where it can be satisfied, where it can find its hope. And even though we place our hope in God as our satisfaction, that does not mean that our entire life is bliss. People lost and downcast like you and me find hope by trusting in God. satisfaction in God and trust in God. Let's read 6 through 11. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where's your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He begins this section by acknowledging that his soul is downcast, as if almost he was remembering the good old days, and then all of a sudden his memory is jogged that that's not his existence now. The psalmist is looking out over the hills, not to see the familiar sight of the calm Jordan River, but he looks out over the hills in this foreign land to see the waterfalls crashing down and the roar and the consistency of the waves like on the ocean. And instead of enjoying God, the analogy changes here. Instead of the living water satisfying him, now the water is consuming him. It's overtaking him. And it's almost as if he's losing his footing and he can't find any place to stand. It's as if he's drowning. Don't you feel this way by life? I do. Out of control. Overwhelmed. And in the midst of this stormy sea and this drowning darkness, he acknowledges God's steadfast love and begins to sing. He finds God as his rock. God is the only unshakable foundation for this psalmist's life or for your life. Even as he places his trust in God, in this rock, God does not remove the water. And if you read the text closely, where are these waters coming from? It says your waterfalls, your waves, your breakers. Even in the overwhelm, even in the drowning, he acknowledges, he trusts in God and his steadfast love that somehow this is from God. He puts his faith and his hope in God. He knows that his God loves him. And even as powerful as God's love is, as firm a foundation as he is, as satisfying as a drink that he is, the psalmist's whole being feels forgotten by God. And his enemies mock him. And he cries out, why have you forgotten me? Why is there so much mourning in the world? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much hurt? And I know every one of us has felt this way at times, if not even now. That feeling of both being in awe of God, but out of control. Out of your control. You don't have to ask the what ifs to make a plan to get out, and you don't have to connect all the dots to find out the reasons for your suffering or your condition. You're in exile, church. You're in a foreign place. This is our condition. This is life. And at the same time, you can be consumed by the awesomeness of God. It often hurts because of your false perception of reality is disrupted. Earlier in the text, he was looking back to the sweet times of past. And now it's almost as if he's looking to the future for an expectation of God. He's expecting something out of God, and it's not aligning with his reality. So therefore, he feels forgotten. He says, the waves are crashing over me, and I know you're sovereign, God, but this hurts. And it's not going the way that I thought it should go. And he feels out of control. He's losing his grip. The psalmist does not try to come up with a plan to get out. And he does not feel the need to connect all the dots. He looks down at his troubled soul and he takes it in his hands and he says, I currently feel down and depressed by my circumstances, but I trust and hope in God. Will you do that today? Will you tell that to your soul today? And as we place our hope in God by trusting him, we, lost and downcast people, can continue to find hope in God by following God. Let's look at verse 1 through 5 of the next chapter. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against the ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist has now been describing his situation, but in this section, he gives a direct, explicit plea to God. Despite my dry feelings, despite my circumstances, despite my misplaced hope in how you should act, or in the past where it was all great, I know that you will one day publicly vindicate me. You will publicly make all things right. But look at my condition. Do you see me? He's crying out to God, do you see me? And so then he asked explicitly to God to lead him with his light and his truth. Light is the fullness of redemption, and the truth is his promise to his people. He's asking for God to keep his promises and bring redemption. He is now not remembering how he was leading God's people to the temple to sing, but he's asking God to lead him. He says to his soul, I currently feel down and depressed from being in this sinful land, but I place my hope in God to lead me home to everlasting joy. And we're finally told here now where God is. He's in his home, in his dwelling place. The psalmist asked for God to lead him to his hill, to his temple, and even to the place where the sacrifice would have been laid at the altar. But friends, because of your sin, because of my sin, we can't go in. We can't go there. We don't deserve to be vindicated and led into God's presence. And there's no sacrifice that you or I can ever bring to him that would appease him because of our sin. This exile is caused by our sin. But we can be vindicated. There is hope. We can be led into God's presence. This Advent season reminds us that Jesus left his home in heaven to the most furthest possible exile there is, to this place, as a baby, to an unfamiliar land, literally as a child, feeling the straw on his skin and the cold feel of the air. Everything is unfamiliar to a baby. Everything was unfamiliar to our God when he came in the flesh. It was all new to him. As he grew into a man, Jesus would have sung this psalm He would have known it by heart. He not only would have sung it, brothers and sisters, but he would have lived it completely. He would have fulfilled this psalm. Jesus placed his hope in God and becomes our hope. Let's walk through the text with our eyes on Jesus again. Jesus was satisfied in God, becoming our satisfaction. Jesus has experienced the worst possible drought, tempted in every way to place his faith, his satisfaction, his hope in everything else, but he never did. He never sinned once. He placed his hope, his satisfaction in God, his entire life, his entire being. His heart always ran after God. He is our living water that we can be satisfied in. Jesus trusted God, fulfilling God's promises. Jesus was satisfied in God, but he's also called the man of sorrows. Jesus cried out to God the night before he was crucified, God, take this cup from me. It's too much. It's overwhelming me. And even on the cross, he cried out to his Father, have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? Jesus was willing to accept a humble incarnation and a humiliating death. Jesus felt the wrath of God crashing down over him, but he was not overwhelmed. He absorbed it. He absorbed the wrath of God coming down on him. Jesus also followed the will of the Father to lead us. We walk not to the physical holy mountain, but we remember Calvary that our Savior walked up and gave his life, not at an altar, but at a cross. Then on the third day, Jesus was vindicated. He was publicly vindicated. He rose. He rose. The man of sorrows rose to everlasting joy. And he holds out to you and to me this full redemption and his promise to lead his people out of exile into everlasting presence, his presence, everlasting joy. Jesus is how lost people and downcast people like you and me find hope in God by being satisfied in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, and following Jesus. When I was lost on my run last week, I was hoping that Chris V would come to my rescue. But brothers and sisters, we're in a much more desperate condition than a run. And we need a lot. I love Chris V, but we need a much greater savior. We need a much greater help than Chris V or anyone else. We need Jesus. Because Jesus has come, and because Jesus will come again, we can say to our souls, why are you downcast? Hope in God. People like me and you who are lost and downcast can find hope in Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We need to be satisfied in you. We need to trust in you, and we need to be led by you. Would you do that now? Would your Spirit come and satisfy us in ways that we've never been satisfied before? Would you press your truths, your promises, your redemption into our hearts in ways that you have never done before? And will you give us the assurance that you are going to lead us home. Even through death, you are going to lead us. Thank you for being our friend, for being our guide, for leading us. We find our hope in you. Amen.